Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We are a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We know exactly what we're doing here every single night. What do we mean by that? We say we are a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows exactly what it's talking about. In other words, we are not a news, talk, and entertainment show. Well, first of all, we're a news, talk, and entertainment show. That makes us unique right there. But you're never going to hear me apologize for anything. And it's not because I'm a pig-headed or stubborn or hard-hearted guy. That's not it. You're never going to hear me apologize for anything because I will never be so stupid as to say something I have to apologize for. You see? Now, I know that that comes as a very difficult thing to say about my fellow broadcasters, but some of these guys I wouldn't even call fellow broadcasters. Some of these guys don't deserve to even get me coffee, you know. And I'm not talking about Don Imus. Don Imus is stupid, but he's a broadcaster. But some of these guys, you know who I'm talking about. These guys should never have been given a microphone in the first place. They should never have been allowed to sit behind a microphone in the first place, and then they say something stupid, and then they have to apologize. Well, what kind of credibility does somebody like that have who has to say, you know, I'm really sorry that I this and I that and I did something else? See, we don't do that on this show because we're not idiots. We know exactly what we're doing, whether you like it or not. Now, that's something else, you know.
Yeah, people might hate it, but at least we know what we're talking about.
Exactly. So, I mean, you may not like it. You may like it. We hope you do like it. We do our very best for you, but I understand if you don't, if you do. That's the nature of having the choice. However, one thing you will never have to worry about is me coming on here saying something so asinine, I've got to come on the next day and, I'm really sorry that I said what I said, and you know, and if you took it the wrong way, and all of these half apologies that we're so sick and tired of, because I'm not enough of a broadcaster to know how and when to say certain things. Now, I may say things that piss people off. I may say stuff that gets me fired. It's possible, but I'm never going to apologize for saying it. I can say, for instance, well, it's your right if you want to fire me or you want to throw me off your state, whatever. I understand that, but certainly I'm not going to apologize because I meant what I said. Why would I apologize for something that I meant to say? Why would you apologize for something you meant to say? Well, you know, Phil, maybe they didn't mean it. Ah, they didn't mean it. Then why are they sitting behind a microphone? Why do they have the job of broadcaster if they, quote-unquote, didn't mean it? What the hell are you talking about, man? Your job is to sit behind this mic and to say stuff. Are you saying stuff you don't mean? Why? Because you're looking at the clock, because you're wondering when you're going to get out of the studio, because you're wondering who's going to call to save your stupid show. If you've got some phone calls, maybe you don't have to monologue and think up things and not think on your feet very well. And the next thing you know, you're saying stuff that you don't mean. So you'll never hear us do that on this show. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? Tonight on our program, we're going to have on our show a man who is a Ron Paul supporter. Now, I have seen, and you have seen, and I even commented on it a couple of times over on my Facebook page.
Yay!
Don't be a smart-ass butt, okay?
What are you clapping for? Big deal.
All right, okay. But I did say that I thought that allowing this kind of commentary, even in a newsletter that you're not necessarily writing it, but it's a newsletter that you're editing or carries your name, you got to watch out. Now, Ron Paul has been the figurehead. He's been the representative personality. He's been on the masthead of a number of newsletters. The Ron Paul Political Report, the Ron Paul Texas Report, the Ron Paul This Report, the Ron Paul That Report. And I understand these are ways of keeping your name out there. Now, you may not know this, or you may know this, but in a lot of these newsletters have been comments that have been written by others that have been beyond the pale. They have been ignorant, racist comments. They have hearken back to a time when the Ku Klux Klan had a fair following and people really thought that racial separatism or based upon the relative intelligence of the races. I mean, we're talking about some real Stone Age stuff, but this stuff was in Ron Paul newsletters as recently as the 80s, and some of it in the 90s, 1992, there was a comment, and I'm quoting, the substance is absolutely accurate, whether the actual words are. I don't know, but it was essentially this. The riots in L.A., the 1992 riots in L.A., quieted down only when all the blacks had to go and pick up their welfare checks. Now, that was in a Ron Paul newsletter. Did Ron Paul write it? No. Does it matter? Only to the extent that Ron Paul didn't write it, but the fact that it was in his newsletter is not good. Now, did he mean to say it? Did he not mean to? Did he not mean to have it in the newsletter? Is it really his kind? You know, all of this stuff we're going to get into. But I will say this about Ron Paul. Like Phil Hendry, he has not, at least as far as I know, he has not said, you know, he's not said anything along the lines of it was wrong of me to do or to have these newsletters. He has said that I don't share these opinions. Now, a guy did a focus group, and we're going to have Mr. Stephen Bozell on, who is a Ron Paul supporter and ran afoul not just of friends and colleagues in business, but his own family. But Ron Paul there was a focus group done of people who were Ron Paul supporters. It was done in 1996, and they were confronted with these comments that had appeared in Ron Paul newsletters. And when they were confronted with these comments, and they said, now, you understand these are comments that appeared in Ron Paul newsletters. Are you still supporters of Ron Paul? The people, rather than saying, well, that's a questionable thing for him to allow that kind of stuff, or, I wonder if I should look a little bit deeper into the actual ideas of Ron Paul. These people said, well, you know, the Ku Klux Klan isn't all bad. Stephen Bozell joining us, and that's just one example of a comment. Mr. Bozell, you're a Ron Paul supporter. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that the Ku Klux Klan is not all that bad?
No, I don't feel that way. No, sir, I don't have those opinions about the Ku Klux Klan. I'm completely opposed to the anything having to do with the Ku Klux Klan, as I believe that Mr. Ron Paul is. I was taken aback, and I was blindsided by these comments, these quotes, and these essays in his newsletters, as much as I think a lot of Ron Paul supporters were. I did not know about them until I'd been called by this individual who is the the principal and the head instructor at my daughter's school, which is CK Corona.
Now, this is a woman who was pointing out to you what?
She had heard from my daughter that I was Ron Paul. I thought that Ron Paul, Congressman Paul, was an interesting candidate, was an individual that I want to look more at, was an individual that I wanted to possibly support. I felt a lot of things he said made sense. And my daughter went to school and requested a meeting with Mrs. Dorton. They sat down. I think it was about a half hour to 45-minute meeting between my daughter and a couple of the administrators as they put their heads together on what it was that I said and what their response would be.
And now, this is something unusual. I don't understand when you say that your daughter went to school and put her head together with the administrator and another administrator to find out what their response would be. It sounds as if your daughter is a member of the official policy-making board at the school.
Well, no, but the way it works, Mr. Henry, is the students will come to the school and they will make a comment to a teacher or to a member of the administration about the behavior of one or both of their parents, at which time the school will ask the children, can you give us more specifics? And that's when they'll sit down and draw up what they call a white paper, which is basically a bullet points on how to proceed with the parents with a little bit of guidance from the student, his or herself.
But the way they're going to proceed with the parents. So, again, here we have a school that is going to it is going to deal with the behavior of the parents at home. Is that correct?
No, I mean, it's...
So what is the point of this, then?
The point of it was that I had said to my daughter that I supported Ron Paul. She went to the school and mentioned this to, and did indeed have a policymaking meeting with the headmistress, Erica Dorton, and that's when I got the phone call from Ms. Dorton. And she asked me, was I a supporter of Ron Paul? And I said, yes, I was. I said, I didn't know what that had to do with my daughter. She said, I need to inform you. At that time, she said, are you aware of the racist comments that have appeared in Ron Paul in a Ron Paul newsletters. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not, which I was not at that time, Mr. Henry. She then went on to quote the one that you quoted about it was time for them to pick up their welfare checks. She then quoted some other comments about blacks being monkeys and so on from these Ron Paul newsletters. And I refused to believe it. I felt that she was making it up. I'd had some run-ins with this woman before. It got very heated, the argument, until such time as she hung up on me, and I had to use very unfortunate language. And that was the comment that I told your producer. I called her a miserable old maid, said she was barren.
And you called her what? I'm sorry, a miserable old maid?
Yes, sir.
And she was what?
She was barren.
As in not being able to have children?
Yes. And she slammed the phone down on me, and only I found out about an hour later that what she said was true, because I went and I looked and found these comments. It's very difficult to explain that to your own daughter, and why it is I support this man when my daughter's, I've raised her to be a good girl, and her teacher, sort of blindsided me. So the problem that I've had is sort of reconnecting with my daughter, who believes that I'm a racist, as well as reconnecting with the school after having these heated words with this teacher. And the most unfair thing about all of this is I had no idea that these comments appeared in Ron Paul newsletters. So Ron Paul has got a problem. He's got a lot of money that he raised that I donated to him, and a lot of people donated to him, only to find out that he holds these opinions.
Well, now, he doesn't hold, we have to be careful.
Well, yes, sir, but I mean, the fact is, he's allowing those opinions to be expressed. And he's made a lot of money off of me and other people like me, only to find out that he's let these opinions be expressed in his newsletter. It has caused problems in my own family with my daughter's school. Ron Paul's got a problem. He's got a big problem.
All right, I want to take a break and get right back with you, Mr. Bozell, okay? We're talking with Stephen Bozell, who was a Ron Paul supporter up until he found out about these comments in these Ron Paul newsletters. And he found out about them by way of his daughter's teachers at school. So he got into a heated confrontation with them, only to find out that they were telling him the truth. He's alienated his own daughter. And now he feels like there's a little bit of payback due him and other Ron Paul supporters. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Do you feel Ron Paul owes his supporters a big explanation? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back to our show on this Thursday night. Tomorrow's Friday, and at midnight tomorrow night, we have a Phil Hendry Christmas Carol for you, so stick around for that. Midnight tomorrow night, a Phil Hendry Christmas Carol. Stephen Bozell joins us from Corona, California. His daughter attends CK Corona Middle School. His daughter went to school and talked to her teachers about her father's support of Ron Paul. Mr. Bozell, you were called by one of the teachers at the school and told about Ron Paul's politics.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's funny. I have to ask myself, why would a teacher trouble herself with the politics of one of the parents in the school?
At this particular point, I don't really have a leg to stand on. I wish I could debate you about that, or I could debate them about it. They called me up and they asked me, did I support Ron Paul?
But I mean, why is that their business?
Unfortunately, it is their business, because they caught me, as they say, they caught me with my pants down, because Ron Paul, it turns out, has published these comments, and that makes me look like I'm a racist.
No, it doesn't make you look like a racist. At the very least, it makes you look like maybe you supported the wrong guy, but it doesn't. But why is this the opinion? Why is this the business? And we're going to go to some phone calls, but I want to ask you, why is this the business of the school?
I don't know, and at this point, I don't really have the right to ask because they got me over a barrel, you know.
If you said to them, why is this your business, what would they say?
Well, then they'd say, what are you hiding? You know, then they'd really start to turn the screws, and I would be subjected to probably some kind of a family audit, which they do. They will come into your home. They will look through your papers.
The school? This your daughter's school?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Trey. Hi, Trey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I just feel like Ron Paul shouldn't be villainized for anything like this. Yes, he allowed the comments to be published, but it is part of free speech, something he speaks out about a lot.
What about that, Mr. Bozell? I mean, what's happening here is people are demonizing Mr. Paul.
Well, I wish that people believe that, what this gentleman's saying, but right now I've got the school, I've got my coworkers who have said to me, you know, you were touting Ron Paul. Is he a racist? I said, no, he's not a racist. He allowed these comments, and they're saying this. They're saying, oh, it's the same thing.
But, I mean, this gentleman, it seems to me, Trey, you're saying, no, it's not the same thing, correct?
No, it's not. It's not saying that he supports it. It's just allowing people to express their ideas freely like the Constitution says.
Exactly, and I tried to tell my friends that, and they're all, yeah, you're just making excuses for a racist. You're making excuses for some sheet wearer, you know, this kind of nonsense. And I said, no, I'm not. And then the school called me up and said, what are you teaching your daughter? I said, you got to understand, you know, you don't know what you're saying. And I used all of those. I tried to make those arguments, and all I know is the school told me. And then I got into that argument, and I made some unfortunate comments to this lady.
Well, you called her an old maid, and you said she was barren. I mean, there are worse things.
They made a big deal out of that, and I shouldn't have said what I said. But now I stand here today. I got a family audit scheduled for 10 a.m. on Monday.
Now, what is a family audit?
They're going to come in and interview me and my wife to make sure we're not, Ku Klux Klan, I guess.
Well, what this guy is saying, Trey is saying, a man should be, if he facilitates free speech, which Ron Paul was doing with his newsletters.
I wish that I could have made that. I didn't think of that, but even if I did make it, they're going to say it don't matter because he's a racist.
All right, Trey?
I know. How can they do a family audit for something like that? I mean, how can they just, isn't that an unconstitutional thing to just come in because someone's supporting a candidate? And audit your family?
I think what they're saying, sir, is that they're going to come and do a family audit, not on account I support Ron Paul, but because they think that there might be racist, there might be a racist racism that I'm teaching her and everything.
Yeah, but you know what? You may be. You could be.
No, sir, I'm not.
No, I know that, but you, regardless, how do they get to come into your house?
My daughter, that's her school. So they're going to interview me and ask me, what am I teaching her? And they're going to look through our closets to see if we have any kind of that racist paraphernalia, swastikas, this kind of thing. So, I mean, I'm just doing the best I can. But I tell you something right now. Ron Paul is to blame because he should have let people know that he was publishing this stuff. Now, I'm in trouble. And where's he? He's still running for president.
Well, what do you want him to do?
First of all, I would like my money back. I donate a lot of money to this guy, only to find out he's got this kind of stuff.
All right, Trey, are you a supporter of Ron Paul?
Yes, I am.
Do you want your money back?
No.
Buddy, you should get your money back.
He's facilitating free speech. I may not agree with what is put in there, like I don't agree with what's put on TV and stuff. But him as a person and his ideas he has for this country are great ideas. I mean, there's no one else out there that's talking about the stuff. Like, there is a law that's been passed now that they can accuse you of being a terrorist and withhold you indefinitely for no reason. Just for suspicion of being a terrorist. That was a 16-year-old.
Yeah, but see, now I don't even know if that's true or not. Now I don't know if it's true or not because Ron Paul was playing around with the truth.
How is he playing around with the truth?
Well, telling everybody he's not a racist and having all this stuff. I just think that he owes an explanation. He should come on TV and explain to people why he's playing around like this.
All right, look, I got to take a break. Thank you very much, Trey, for your call. Thank you, sir. We got to do. We do have to break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. So does Ron Paul owe his supporters an explanation? Does he owe them their money back? The facilitation of this kind of ugly speech, even it's free speech, though it be ugly speech, is this? What does this say about Ron Paul? And what does it say about Ron Paul as a potential president? 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell says he wants his money back. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
I want all my money back. I want it back.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California. He's on the line with us to talk about the controversy that is that has reared its ugly head around Ron Paul and newsletters that he edited or otherwise sponsored, some of them as recently as 1992. I don't know if they get any more recent than that. I know there was a focus group done with his supporters in 96 in which some very racist things are said, anti-Semitic things are said. Stephen Bozell joins us, a Ron Paul supporter. I think it's fair to say, Mr. Bozell, a former Ron Paul supporter?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, because I've
You feel blindsided by this, and your daughter went to school and mentioned your support of Ron Paul to the school. You had a confrontation.
I did.
And in that confrontation, you called the teacher some unfortunate thing, called her an old maid. You said she was barren.
Yes, sir. I made comments about her age and her features. She's well known to be, never been married, and I made some very, very unfortunate things about her comments that I should not have made. But I take responsibility for myself. But in this situation, I would take responsibility for myself, and I would own up to it, any of the things that I have done. But Ron Paul has got his fingerprints all over this. He should have told people, and then when they said to him, look at these newsletters, what do you think? He should have said, I think they're disgusting, and we should have a bonfire and burn them all. That's what he should have done. Instead, he just said, hey, that's too bad and all that. Yeah.
And he's made it difficult for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, you're asking for your money back. I don't know how he's going to do all of that. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Scott on the line. Scott, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Phil and Stephen. I guess I want to make sure I'm framing the issue correctly. You're looking for your money back after being a Ron Paul supporter. Don't know what your particular reasons for being a supporter were. I'm not.
Well,
but one thing
I've always been a Ron Paul supporter in terms of his economic policy, which is to strip away all these government entitlements and to strip down government in terms of its financial obligations,
So if I hear you correctly, you support him for the things I know him to be, and I'm not a supporter of Ron Paul, but for smaller government, less intrusion in our lives, no big brother hanging over our shoulder, those types of things, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand, I've had a lot of people asking me questions over the last 48 hours. I don't know what you're getting at.
The man's just trying to find out.
I find it extremely interesting and somewhat irritating that someone that could stand for Ron Paul's taken some very unpopular stands, but they're all been on the basis of freedom. And what I heard you say was, you wanted your money back, you wanted this, you wanted that, basically because the man. I mean, you're worried about somebody coming in and finding a swastika in your home, somebody finding a.
I didn't say that at all. I said that Ron Paul has allowed my daughter and the teacher told me that Ron Paul has all this racism going on, and I didn't know about that.
I didn't know about that.
I'm not a racist. Are you?
I'm not a racist.
Are you?
I don't think Ron Paul.
You're like Sandusky. You had to think about that, didn't you?
All right. Now hold on. All right, well, let's just answer this. The question.
What's that, sir?
I answered it directly. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I'm
just let's. What did you want to say?
What I want to say is, I didn't know Ron Paul had in his newsletters all of this ignorant talk. And when I was told about it by my teacher, by the woman who teaches my daughter, I didn't believe her. I was shocked to the point where I said to her, she must be some lying, you know, I called her a lesbian. I called her all kinds of things. And it turns out she was right.
You know what? I'm not going to be, you know, shame on you for that.
Shame on Ron Paul for calling people monkey man. Okay.
Ron Paul didn't say that, though.
20 years ago, and he explained it as early as today. If you'd listen to the current news.
Yeah. What did he say?
No.
Yeah. And what did he say?
Oh,
he said he believes free speech.
He also said that didn't accurately characterize his view. He was editorializing it, and he apologized. Done deal. It's 20 years old. My question to you, more relevant to today than 20 years ago is, you're a supporter of Ron Paul. Yes, you were, right?
I was. Right. Not no more, and I'll tell you something else. I want my money back. I gave him a lot of money.
Sir. What are you willing to invest in your freedom? You don't even want somebody to ask the government, God forbid, ask a question of you, which is the very thing that Ron Paul stands for, even though I don't like him for a presidential choice.
You said that about three times. Let me get into thinking for a guy you don't like. You really like him a lot. Yeah, you must really like him because you've said you don't like him about five times while you're defending him.
Smaller government back of the Constitution. I kind of happen to be a Newt guy myself. Doesn't matter. My point
is... I wouldn't vote for that guy if he was gold-plated.
All right, okay. I don't want to have a debate about Newton versus Ron Paul. What I want to do is I think this gentleman here, Scott, has articulated his point, which is... this is a 20-year-old comment that was not made by Mr. Paul himself. It was made by somebody else writing in his magazine. He did apologize for it today.
Well, you know, again, if he apologized for it today, and this isn't the only comment that was in his magazine, then how come, you know, people are telling me there's stuff's popping up left and right about the Klan this and the Jews that and all kinds of stuff. Every 5 seconds, they got a new quote. I just want him to come out clean and tell me why he allowed this stuff to be in his magazines or his newsletters, to give me my money back.
To give you your money back.
Yes.
That's what you want. You just want your money.
So if there's more than one comment that was made, there was one in '92. There's a series of them, but even if he apologized for all of those, what?
They're old.
What about that? They're old.
That has some bearing.
I
got a great idea for you, sir. Hey, sir, I got a great idea for you. A guy molests a kid 30 years ago. We got to let that go. That's old.
I got him on that one.
No, you did.
You did. Good
I got
job,
him.
Phil.
I got you.
You got me.
We
let our current president's affiliation with terrorists go. And that's current, and he's our current president. This guy's just trying for the spot, running on smaller.
Well, 20 years ago.
God bless.
I just want to find out whether this guy believes black people are monkeys or not. That's all.
Wow.
All right. Okay. All right.
Well, this guy just went wow, like it's a weird question. She wants a father that doesn't believe blacks are monkeys. If you don't mind, okay. That's what my daughter expects of me. I don't know about your daughter, but.
Okay, thank you very much, sir, for your call, Steve. We're very far afield here. You're taking a lot of stuff really personally.
Well, that guy was talking like he thought he was pretty, I don't know, he was talking like he thought he was really smart.
What do you mean? He was making some very good points, and I think we have to allow him that. 877-876-PHIL, here is David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's a good point that if the guy only said it one time, or if they're really old, what do you say to that?
I've had my head twisted around five different ways today, okay? Now you guys are telling me something else. All I know is that Ron Paul has made my day hell.
Okay, go ahead, David.
Well, look, he's only made your day hell because you let the circumstances around it make your day hell. Let me ask you this. What gives your daughter's school the right to even come over to your house and audit you? Let me tell you something. If I was in your shoes, I would laugh in the school's face and get lawyered up and be like, be my guest. You're not coming into my house to audit me or my child.
All right.
Because, look, well, Ron Paul edited that magazine.
What are you going to say to them when you say to them that, and they say to you,
ridiculous.
We think that you've got some... you're talking bad opinions at your house. We need to come talk to you. What are you going to say then?
I would tell him to kiss my rear end. This is the United States of America. This isn't some liberal-ran country. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously.
Wait a minute.
When you were in school, you had any history of it. When was that even allowed to happen? Not until the liberal society took over this country. Let me ask you one thing, and I hear you out, because I respect where you're coming from.
I'm just trying to say they're going to come into my house and say, well, I'm talking all kinds of monkey politics and stuff.
What do you mean monkey politics?
I'm talking racism.
You supported Ron Paul. How are you supporting? Yes. You're not making any sense. You're being hypocritical.
I do support Ron Paul, but now I found out he's calling everybody Jew boy and all this stuff.
Whoa, you know, we got to back up here, man. Is he doing it, or are these comments in his newsletter?
He's making the same mistake that every left-wing media outlet's doing. They're saying, they're taking
it doesn't matter.
Ron Paul did not say that. When did Ron Paul
make any difference.
Or anyway, no. When did Ron Paul come out? When did that come out of his mouth? When? You tell me one time.
According to the news reports, it comes out of
these newsletters, if I wrote a piece of paper that said, we got to
do something. If we're Ron Paul supporters, we got to do something. And the first thing we got to do is have him give us our money back so we can
say it. Listen, he didn't say it. You have no proof at all.
You're telling me that. I'm willing to believe you, but nobody else does. No one else believes you.
You're over here. Who else doesn't believe me? Some lunatic left-wing liberal society? Listen, when did
the perception's
out. You can't tell me one of his... No, listen, you're running around in circles. What liberals do? Answer the question.
I'm not a liberal. I'm a Ron Paul supporter.
No, listen,
I'm answering.
When did Ron Paul say it? When did it come out of his mouth?
I said he didn't.
No, it did not.
I agreed with you.
Quit lying.
I know.
The perception is the wrong.
Okay, you know what, David? You're not giving anybody a chance to talk here. I think that Mr. Bozell, you did say that Ron Paul didn't say it.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell this guy. Okay.
Okay. Well, then what's perception?
Everybody else does, including my kid's school. And that lady's coming to me and saying, you know, Ron Paul said monkey man. I said, no, he didn't. And then she said, well, some people wrote it in his newsletter. And I still told her she was a liar because I didn't even believe that.
Okay, but
that's when I called her an old bag and a lesbian.
Okay, what's happened here is
the school now has you for calling this lady names, and now they're going to come to your house and do some family audit, whatever that is.
They got him scared. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to speak your mind, sir. Listen, I totally respect where you're coming from.
Thanks to Ron Paul. Now they're coming into my home. Ron Paul did that.
You keep saying thanks to Ron Paul. He never said it.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He didn't say it.
He apologized for it. It was 20 years ago. What do you want the guy to
say?
Have you ever said something you regret saying? Have you ever said something?
No.
You never said something that you didn't regret
saying? No, sir. I have not.
You just said you did 10 seconds ago.
No, I said no. I never said anything I regret.
No, I'm saying, but you called the teacher what you said you called, and you regretted that, right?
Well, no, I don't regret it. I'm sorry that I said it.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Isn't being sorry?
It means that I meant what I said. It means I meant what I said, but I'm sorry that I said it in the open like that.
You want to run for political office?
Let me say one thing. Listen, Ron Paul's plan is to cut every entitlement program out there, right? Now, a lot of people deem that as being racist because, you know, what race generally takes advantage of government entitlement programs? I mean, think about that.
White people or Mexicans?
Really?
Mexicans?
You can say the same thing about, blacks. Blacks do. Mexicans do. I mean, I'm just saying, though. I mean, more minorities
white people?
Take advantage.
I see a lot of white people do, too.
Take advantage. That's true. But when you look at the broad scheme of things, more minorities are taking advantage of the government title.
I think if you look at the actual statistics, if you look at the statistics, there's more white people on welfare.
I would disagree.
Well, I don't know.
Have you seen the statistics?
I read a lot of books on this.
Seen the statistics on the welfare rolls?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay.
Majority
is Caucasian. It's mostly Caucasian. So that's the other thing. I need to talk to someone who represents Ron Paul to find out what he's going to do about this, because I've got a lot of people now looking at me like I'm some kind of a scumbag.
All right, look, we got to take a break here, but I appreciate very much, David, your comments and your patience. And, Mr. Bozell, you hang on. 877-876-PHIL. God almighty. Anyway, Ron Paul and these racist comments that appeared in his newsletters and in his magazines and so forth, and now they've come to the fore, and Mr. Bozell has gotten into all kinds of problems with his daughter's school. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. I want to get back to some calls, Stephen, but I want to ask you something. When the school called you and the school wanted you, they wanted to ask you, were you a supporter of Ron Paul? Is that right?
Well, Erica Dorton...
Just hold on. Before you tell me about Erica Dorton, she's the principal, right?
Yes, sir.
And she called up and said what?
Said, are you familiar with Ron Paul? I said, yeah. He said, well, we know because you support him. And he said, well, maybe you'd like to know that he's a racist. I said, well, no, he's not. And she said, yes, he is, because he said that he allowed these comments in a newspaper that he writes. And then she quoted all kinds of comments about Jews and this and that. And I said, I think you're a lying old lesbian. I made a bunch of comments that I should have made. And she said, okay, now you're on. Then she said to me, now you, that tears it, you know, now you've taken it to another level. And she goes, we're going to do a family audit. And I said, and then I got off the phone with her. And
she said she's going to do a family audit.
Yes, sir.
And you got off the phone with her, and you found out that these comments were made in the magazine, and you now want Ron Paul to what?
Well, I would like my donation money back. He made a lot of money on people donating to him. And
even though he's apologized for these things that appeared in his magazine.
Right now, that's what people are saying, that he apologized. But I don't, I still got this family audit coming up. I still got my daughter who thinks I'm, a piece of garbage. Is Ron Paul, is he going to apologize to them? So, see, in other words, what he did is he ruined my life. And
oh, come on, he ruined your life?
In terms of my daughter's school, yes, sir.
All right, hold on. We're going to go to another phone call. I just wanted to get a little, just some of the facts out here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Steve on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, Phil, listen.
Yes.
The guy that's talking about his daughter in school. Okay.
Listen, yes, sir.
Let me explain something to you right now. Nobody can discuss racism like me. I'm a black progressive liberal or whatever you want to call me. And this guy with his daughter is absolutely pinpoint accurate. Just because you say, oh, I don't stand behind, you can't run behind the Constitution to hide behind racism. This guy is going through the I know exactly where he stands. He's saying that because of that incident, now the school thinks that he's teaching his kid hate crime. Because you got that going on in school right now. I've been called the N-word, balls threw at me, stuff like that, but none of them was man enough to face me face to face. But I understand exactly what he's saying. Now he's getting really cute about something that he's not racist. I can just tell in his voice alone. But this stuff, the other guys call around, oh, liberal this and liberal that. If the right wings would be more humane towards people, they'll understand the racism stuff a little better. This guy right here.
What am I
going
to do now?
I mean,
what am I going to do? They got me pinned down over the hood of a car.
Steve, listen. My name's Steve. I know they do. And I understand exactly what you're going through. And the other guys can't talk about racism. I am black. I go through this stuff. Look, y'all couldn't imagine I'm the only one that. I wish you could just live in
my... What do I say to that one guy that said most of the people who's on welfare is black? And I'm like going, I don't know if that's true or not.
That's another thing. Listen, I got news for you. Your stats is pinpoint accurate. I'm a black that do know a little bit about politics. So therefore, you're accurate on that too. But the thing about it, what I'm saying about it, is I feel your pain. I don't know if you can get your money back, but I understand your pain about... Now they're going to go to your state. They want to audit you because they want to make sure you ain't teaching her hate. Because this stuff goes on.
Well, I'm giving up on Ron Paul. I don't even want to be a conservative anymore. I want to be liberal now. I want to be liberal like my daughter.
this is the problem, Phil, I have with the Republicans. I don't have nothing personal with them because I don't get personal with nobody. But they got to understand that, they all for government and all this good stuff about, you know, we need to get our fiscal house in order, you cut spending. Okay, but yet they are all talking about fighting war. So you can't fight a war free. We don't work that way.
And that costs money, yeah. That costs money. Right. That's true.
I don't understand that either. And then the lady said to me that Ron Paul was making all these people was writing. And I said, I don't know the difference. I called her a liar because I didn't think anybody could run.
It's absolutely true. But he says, they were interviewing him at CNN, and he walked off the mic set. But he says, I didn't stand behind him, but, you know, I didn't write that stuff in there. All I can do is tell him I don't support it. But listen, it's like, okay, let me give you an example. It's like me selling used cars.
All right, I do have to take a break. Steven, I got to take a break. I appreciate it. Real fast, 20 seconds, 20 seconds.
Okay, all right. It's like selling used cars. I'm going to sell you a bunch of used cars. I know the transmission's bad, but I'm going to sell them anyway. Yes, he know about that stuff. Come on, let's start. You can't hop out of cars every time you blame racism. So I understand.
All right.
Steve, I'm with you.
Thanks very much, sir, for your call. Appreciate it. And there is Steve. Thank you. That's Steve. You're Steve. Your thoughts, Steve?
On that Steve?
No, he's gone. What about you?
What happened to me is I've been pushed over to being a liberal now because I don't know what anybody's saying to me. I used to be a Ron Paul man right down the line, and now all of a sudden he's talking all this mess about blacks and Jews. And my daughter's school is going to audit me on Monday, and I've got to get things together here. The other thing I wanted to mention.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here. Hour number two of the... I'm going to start saying hour number two, hour number three of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I'm going to do all of those things to see if it doesn't, make us a little bit more commercially mainstream.
Talk about hour number two?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Or if you want, we can say hour number two, first quarter hour. Hour number two, second quarter hour. So we can track it like a football game. But in any event... It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What we have with us is Mr. Stephen Bozell. Don Mixa is going to join us from the University of Washington and talk about the definitions of liberal, conservative. Ron Paul is the topic tonight. And, of course, the topic will always shift as we continue our discussion. Essentially, the topic of discussion tonight, really, in my opinion, was this man, Mr. Bozell, who's on the line with us, and his relationship with his family and his daughter's school when he was very... open and very much a supporter of Ron Paul's. This news got back to the school. The school confronted Mr. Bozell on this and told him about these racist sentiments and so forth in these newsletters. It dispirited Mr. Bozell. It upset him. He got into a fight, called this lady some names, but now he's saying that he feels betrayed by Ron Paul, wants his money back, if you believe this, and... is giving up on the conservative cause. With us will be also Don Mixa, who is very much a progressive, liberal, if you will, professor of engineering at the University of Washington and has been with us as a contributor on a great many political issues affecting or espousing views on the left. 877-876-PHIL, and your phone calls as well. We welcome, ladies and gentlemen, 877-876-7445. A reminder that the Phil Hendry Show website is the internet presence of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is only there that you get the first-generation, clean, quality audio of our podcasts, which are our radio shows without the commercials. It is only there that you get the first-generation, quality audio of our archived material, which goes back some 13 years, full radio shows, all the way back to 1998, 1999. It is also there where you get your... everyday, daily video cast of the Phil Hendry Show, our live video cast right now, as well as on demand. And in the coming months, the on demand video of the Phil Hendry Show will also be available on your Apple products. That's right. That's right. And I'm talking about your iPhone and your iPad. That is in the coming months. That will be a reality, and a lot of other things, including our mobile site. But we don't race into these things just so we can suck a cheap buck out of you. We do it right. And when we do it, we do it the first time the right way. So go on over to philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and get on board for all of the great and exciting things we got planned for you guys in 19, 1991 or 2012 or 19, you know, whatever.
1992,
which is the year that we're actually in right now because we're talking about, no, 2012 is what I'm talking about. But all right, Mr. Bozell is going to get him up on the phone here. We also have Don Mixa on the line from Seattle, Washington. Don, good to talk to you. How are you?
Phil, I'm doing very great. And thank you for asking on the program.
And Stephen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, both of you guys, we're engaging in a conversation here about Ron Paul. The reason why we have you on, Don, is to talk to Mr. Bozell a little bit about some of his confusion vis-a-vis Ron Paul. Now, why don't you articulate, Steve, what you were saying to us during the break?
Okay.
And tell Don these issues you're talking about.
All right, well, the major issue was the fact that Ron Paul is not has not said these things or written these things himself, that Ron Paul has actually simply been the conduit or the sponsoring person of him. He had a newsletter in it. One of the comments was, given the inefficiencies of what D.C. laughingly calls the criminal justice system, I think we can safely assume that 95% of the black males in that city are semi-criminal or entirely criminal. Another comment, that is absolutely disgusting. Yes, sir. Another comment, we are constantly told that it is evil to be afraid of black men. That is hardly irrational. Just more and more and more and more and more. All right, well, the first thing I would say, Phil, and again, I want to thank you for having me on your program. I think you need to understand, and I think that even Ron Paul supporters should understand. In the New Republic, Jamie Kirchick reports that Ron Paul made on these newsletters. Okay, let's just talk about the newsletter publishing of Ron Paul. He made nearly $1 million in just 1 year.
Wow, okay. From the advertising and...
From the advertising. Now, Ron Paul is not stupid. He understands the working of a profitable operation like that. Reporters at the libertarian-leaning Reason magazine wrote that the author was likely a longtime Paul friend and combative polemicist, Lou Rockwell. And this guy, Lou Rockwell, is a very good friend of Ron Paul's. Now, let me tell you about the ad that is that appeared in a Ron Paul newsletter that's just come to light now, talking about the coming race war in our big cities and a federal homosexual cover-up to play down the impact of AIDS. These are all advertisements, by the way. And
what you're saying is, in other words, Mr. Paul has these attitudes in his magazines because they make money.
Well, I think they make money, but I'm not saying that Ron Paul doesn't believe them. I don't think Ron Paul is going to take an ad that promotes a liberal cause. I think he'll take ads that promote conservative, extreme conservative viewpoints or extreme radically right-wing viewpoints. And I think he makes money that way.
All right, so Ron Paul has made a lot of money with these newsletters and the advertisers. I don't think that there is a secret there, but is Ron Paul, is he one of the loose change guys? Is he an Alex Jones? Is he a kook? Is he, you know, because those cats will promote something that they probably know is patently horse dung, you know?
I think with Ron Paul, you have the same thing.
Well, the question I would have is, how do you, if you're saying that Ron Paul would promote something that he knows is not true, that, man, I'll tell you, now I really want my money back, you know. And,
well, I have to tell you, you're not going to get your money back, Ron Paul. Yeah, the reason why I brought up what I brought up, Mr. Bozell, is because if Ron Paul is taking advertisements in his magazines that made him, close to $1 million in 1 year, I don't think he's given anybody their money back. I think Ron Paul, there's one thing we know about Ron Paul, he knows how to make money, and he does it very, very well.
All right, on the line with me is Don Mixa and Stephen Bozell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We have Mr. Bozell with us because he had the run-in with his daughter's school concerning his support of Ron Paul. We have Mr. Mixa here, who is a longtime liberal contributor to our program. We're going to go to some more phone calls here, 877-876-PHIL. Hanging on the line with me right now is James. James, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell and Don Mixa.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
First of all, I'd like to say to the school, it's about time businesses start standing up for what they believe in. I'm about tired of people keeping their mouths shut in the name of social grace. If you pull up the USDA's website, though, you can see that 32% of the black population receives welfare benefits, while only 13% of the white population does. So while his comments, Ron Paul's comments, might have been taken as racist or not, they're not comments, they're facts.
But did you just say the USDA, sir? Did you just say the USDA? That's the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Correct. They're a branch of the USDA, the Economic Research Service.
Okay, well, that's hardly the Health and Human Services, and certainly it's not, by the way, not state by state. Most of the so-called welfare or assistance to families is a state by state operation. The 13% of white families that you just pointed out, that's inaccurate.
Well, how do I, look at what we have to do is go find the statistic ourselves.
What was that?
Okay, what else? What's that, sir?
No, I mean, if I can't get... This is a government website. It was updated in 2011. So if I can't get correct information from a government website, where am I supposed to turn?
Well, let me ask you this. If you believe in the government, then why does Ron Paul constantly talk to us about downsizing it, the fact that it lies, the fact that it's inefficient, the fact that it doesn't get anything done well, and you're quoting statistics from it? Okay, then why are you quoting statistics from it? Why are you quoting statistics from an inefficient? Why are you quoting statistics from an inefficient entity?
Well, where am I supposed to get my statistics then? Where are you?
I don't know. That's up to you. That's up to you, Ron Paul supporters. You guys have all the answers.
Well, now let's be fair, okay? Let's be fair. We can find this number, and we will. And I'm not doubting what you're saying to us, James. I appreciate that. And most black families, you're saying. So you're saying most black families are on welfare. So then the next question is why? Why do you think that's true, James?
The system is inefficient. Rather than teaching
That's not an answer. I'm asking you, why do you think black families are on welfare?
I can't
than whites.
I've never grown up in a black family.
Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever investigated that? Or does your investigation end at that question?
I'm not sure.
I think that's a good question, Phil.
You're not sure there's what?
I'm not sure there is an answer to that. I mean, why?
Well, because you haven't got it doesn't mean there isn't an answer. You just haven't looked for it. And perhaps there's...
I think that's a very good point, Phil.
Hold on for a minute, okay? Perhaps one of the problems we're having is that people are only going to investigate the answers to questions that they know they're going to get the right answer for. But if they get an answer for something that is going to upset them, they don't look for the answer to that question because, after all, ideology is, you know, sacrosanct. All right.
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
No, hold on, both of you guys, okay? We're trying to move the show along a little bit. And I don't mean to cut off my caller. I'm just saying, all right, suppose that's true, that most black families are on welfare more than whites. Why is that? Then you come to really stupid answers like, well, because they're black and they're lazy, you know. To actually get to the answers to those questions takes a little bit of study. All right.
What are you talking about?
Never mind, bud. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get right back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa and Steve Bozell in just one moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell with us, along with Don Mixa from Seattle, Washington, here as we're talking about. There's a lot of stuff that we're getting into here, but I mean, the thing we're talking about is Ron Paul, okay?
I agree, Phil. I was trying to give some background. Mr. Hendry, if I could jump in.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm perfectly willing to believe that there's a lot of black people on welfare, or there's not a lot of black people on welfare. It doesn't make any difference to me, but the problem that I'm trying to talk about is Ron Paul and how I feel betrayed by him when he had all his Jew bashing. Here's another comment that I found. One of these says here that Martin Luther King seduced underage boys and girls. After the Los Angeles riots, order was restored when the blacks picked up their welfare checks. And another referred to Barbara Jordan, a civil rights activist, as Barbara, the archetypical half-educated victimologist.
Well, is that racist?
Well, on account of she's black. That's very racist, Phil. If you're criticizing, believe me, I know I'm white and I'm a progressive liberal politician, so I know about what whites do, and I've been around a lot of these, you know, a lot of these whites.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let me go to another phone call here. I have hanging on patiently. David, go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozella and Don Mixa.
Hey, Phil. I just wanted to make mention, you know, I'm a 100% disabled veteran, retired from the Army. And, you know, when I served in the military, I served in the military to defend everyone's rights, regardless of religion, regardless of race. And, you know, I just wanted to touch on the fact that, you know, this school is actually intruding on his privacy, and he's going to allow it.
Well, what do you mean? They want to find out that we're not infecting our children.
Right, but I don't understand.
The only
but
thing
what
you
I don't understand is why do they have the right to do that, regardless if you were or you weren't. They don't have the right to intrude on your privacy, whether you were teaching it or you weren't teaching it.
Bill, can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Hi, it's Don. I think your name is David, right? Don, I was in the Army, too. I was in the United States military as well. I was a little bit older than you. I was a Korean veteran, but I was a radio operator, as a matter of fact. But I got into engineering because I didn't want to stay in the Army. But I want to tell you that... you see, what we're dealing with here is that coming from a different generation of Army. I come from the repressive times of the communist Cold War, and you got a guy here who's trying to do the right thing by his daughter and by his school, and he messed up. He supported the wrong guy. You know what I mean?
Right. I do
say,
understand.
Say that again. Hold on. You mean he messed up? He supported the wrong guy. What does that mean? I mean, the Cold War, you got done talking about the Cold War where there was people messed up and they supported the wrong guy and they were thrown out of their jobs, you know, the McCarthy era.
No, I understand that. I understand that. The McCarthy era was a horrible era.
So what's the difference here? You guys saying that he's supporting Ron Paul, he messed up.
Hold on. Don't you dare call me a McCarthy era politician, my friend. Okay, don't you dare call me that, all right?
I'm not calling you that, Don, but I'm asking you, what's the difference between you saying to this man, you messed up by supporting Ron Paul, and a McCarthy-era subcommittee saying to someone, how dare you go to a Communist Party meeting?
Because one was a Communist Party meeting, which you have every right in the world to go to.
And you don't have the right to support Ron Paul?
Not when he is a rabid racist, no.
Why?
Well, I mean, all I know is... Steve, if you wouldn't mind just to shut your mouth for a minute here.
Don't tell my guest to shut up, okay?
Sir, I wanted to say something, though. Okay, you know, okay, go ahead, say it.
Really, let me let the caller... did you have anything else you wanted to say, sir?
I actually did.
David?
I go ahead. I didn't understand why he was allowing... I understand he wants to do right by his daughter. I didn't understand why he was allowing them to intrude on his privacy, regardless of his political issues. And not only that...
I don't want to run afoul of the relations with the school. It's a very good school. And the
right.
other thing that you, maybe you didn't hear, but I made the mistake of when I spoke to Mrs. Dorton, who is, I say Mrs., she's not married, her name's Ms., but I called her an old maid. I said she was barren, couldn't have, you know, I said some bad things.
So what are you trying to do, make it up to her?
I don't need to mess up anymore, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I think you should. I think that you should, of course, apologize for the, you know, for what you've said to her. It sounds like you're clearly an intelligent man, and it sounds like, you know, you'll be able to get this right with your daughter over a little bit of time.
I don't think he sounds intelligent. I think he sounds stupid. If you want my honest opinion,
why would you say that?
Because I think you're letting a lot of people push you around. That's why.
Look at. I appreciate
I
very much.
I agree with the pushing around.
Exactly. All right, David. Thanks so much, brother. 877-876-PHIL. All right, Don, go.
Well, I mean, the point that I'm trying to make is that Mr. Bozell did mess up. He supported Ron Paul, number one, and number two, he called this woman who was trying to teach his kid to extract herself from this tar, this thick tar of Nixonian Reaganism, and trying to push them into the future. And in the process, he called her a hag, a bag, a lesbian, you know, every kind of foul faith. Not that being a lesbian is bad, but when a man like this calls you a lesbian and you're a woman, it's bad. So I think he's got a lot to apologize for. And I think it's the least you can do to let them come into the home, interview you, and make sure you're not running afoul of them anymore.
Well, that was my feeling. If I could just sit down and tell them that I'm not going to support Ron Paul no more, that I'll do what needs to be done to help my daughter.
Well, I don't know that that's the smart thing to do. Let me take we got a bunch of phone calls we have to get to, and we also have a commercial break. So I tell you what, we're gonna go to the commercial break, but and I'm gonna just finish up here so we can have something to kind of launch off of in the next quarter hour. Don, if a man, and I said this before, if a man is supporting Ron Paul, or a man goes to a Communist Party meeting in the 1950s, an era that you say you're familiar with, people were thrown out of their jobs if they admitted to have, as young people, gone to Communist Party meetings. Correct?
Yes, Phil, but it's different from that. Was something, the country was in distress. People were going to Communist Party meetings because we wanted to find out what was going on. How could we help our country? Ron Paul is this rather embarrassing hillbilly. Forgive me for saying it, but that's what I think he is.
Well, I think that's going a little overboard.
I'm sorry to have to say it. He's an embarrassing hillbilly that has these extreme views on finance as well as race as well as the society. And I don't think you look good when you support him. I don't think it's chic. I don't think it is what we call political chic. And I certainly don't think it's something that's going to get you. You're certainly not going to get invited to Starbucks with myself or my class to kick it around as I go table to table.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa with us, going table to table at Starbucks, whatever, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get back as we continue this discussion here. And you heard some things quoted, and I understand that Mr. Paul, Congressman Paul, has said today that he apologized for these things appearing in his magazines. I think the comment, or at least the opinion that one should consider is this. Do you apologize when you are you adequately apologizing when you know you made almost $1 million in 1 year on these kinds of newsletters? 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are we off the air now? Or?
Yes, we are.
Phil Hendry.
Can I get some coffee with a little bit of cream?
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show at 877-876-PHIL. With me is Don Mixa and Steve Bozell as we talk about the recent stories involving Ron Paul, these newsletters that were edited by him or were presented by him, the comments that appeared in these newsletters. What is Mr. Paul's relationship to them? And Don, it doesn't matter to you that Mr. Paul apologized, huh?
Do I think Ron Paul's a racist? No, I think Ron Paul is a very smart guy. I think he catered to that end of the political spectrum because he knew that there was, it sort of gave him credibility as a free speech advocate. But let me ask you a question. Do I advocate on behalf of the NAMBLA? Am I going to talk about man, the Boy Love organization? Am I going to advocate on behalf of NAMBLA? Am I going to advocate, for instance, on behalf of Holocaust denial? Is that free speech? And if Ron Paul is doing that, I'm not saying that he's doing that, but where does it end, And at what point does it become kook, And I think Ron Paul has definitely, I think he's definitely gone into the realm of kook.
Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead, Steve.
See, that's what I'm worried about, Have I been in my home talking about a kook, as Mr. Mixa said, or, what have I done, and the school called and wanted to know, why are you talking about, why do you support Ron Paul? I said, because I believe, the things I said. And they said, well, do you know this guy's, all of his newsletters? And he's talking Monkey Man and...
Well, Ron Paul didn't say Monkey Man. I didn't see anything here that said Monkey Man.
Well, but I mean a perception,
That's just it, Phil. The perception is that Ron Paul called people Monkey Man, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's stuck with it. And
no, he's not stuck with it. I don't think that he... But I'm just simply saying, so he said that, and so what?
Did, and so I've got to find a way to get my way, get myself out of this. I got people saying, what are you doing supporting the Ku Klux Klan? I've got my daughter is angry at me. I called this woman a lesbian and an old maid. I gotta let the people in come into my house, and they're going to have to just, if they got to turn this place upside down and do a family audit, then that's what they got to do.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me go over here to Odessa on the Phil Hendry Show. Odessa, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. I'm calling because I'm afraid racism is too easily adhered to by those who refuse to see the truth or do not understand fully what the statistics they quote, for example, can do to obfuscate what the truth really is. I'm calling particularly with regard to the man who called a few minutes ago, quoting statistics, federal government statistics, concerning the number of whites.
He said that like 13% of the whites and everything was on welfare, and I thought he's pretty probably off on that.
Yeah, Odessa, go ahead.
Oh, he may very well have been on with respect to the percentages he quoted. The problem is you can't just quote those percentages without considering the ratios of blacks to whites that make up those two subsets of the United States population. If you took the very statistics he quoted, those percentages, and multiplied them times the numbers of whites and the numbers of blacks that are part of the U.S., total U.S. population, Mr. Bozell, your comment remains true. There are more whites, absolute numbers of whites, on those government assistance programs than there are blacks. Blacks make up less than 15%, as I recall, of the U.S. population.
Yeah, see?
Well, you didn't know it, Mr. Mixer. You had to have this lady explain it.
But I suspected as much. But I was the one that said... So, in other words, one of my friends says to me, or one of these Ron Paul people says to me, ain't it true that more blacks are on welfare, I say I divide it by what?
No, it's not divided. What is the what's the equation again, Odessa?
Multiply. The decimal.
Multiply.
For example, 13% is 0.13 times the number of whatever,
white
or
people.
Blacks in the population. And
okay.
You come up with the actual number of people represented by that percentage. And in that case, I repeat, there are more whites than blacks who receive assistance from those government programs.
And so therefore, there are more white people receiving this federal money. And so therefore, if you wanted to break it down that way, you could say, well, most of your federal assistance money is going to white families, if that's something that some of these people worry about. And I guess they do.
I wasn't going to worry about it, but that right there... I knew I was right about that.
All right, Odessa, thank you very much. That's a very helpful, very, very helpful number.
By the way, Phil, I just wanted to jump in. When you said that I didn't know that until that lady, how do you know? Because when I heard her talking,
Well, you heard her talking, but you knew my number was going to come out.
Can I just say something? I came on the program to instruct Mr. Bozell. I didn't come on this program to listen, to sit here as if the two of us are equal. You know,
I don't understand what he means by that.
Well, you came on the program to tell Mr. Bozell what your progressive and liberal politics were. I don't know how that makes you better.
Well, I mean, this guy is saying that he came up with a number that this lady came up with as if he's some kind of a mathematical whiz. And I'm far from it. He's the guy that supports Ron Paul.
I did support Ron Paul, sir, until I found out that of the racisms that he did.
Of the racisms that he did. See what I'm saying? I never supported Ron Paul. Never, ever did I support Ron Paul. Okay? You would think that automatically makes me smarter than this guy.
No, it doesn't.
Nope, we're not going to go there. I'm just saying, since he's decided that he can't support Ron Paul, what are your views with regard to your politics, progressive? Here's Daniel on the Phil Hendry Show. Daniel, go ahead.
I've been listening, and this guy is ridiculous. In regards to Ron Paul, first of all, the man who said he's going to be audited by the school, just to let you know, legally, there is absolutely no way that school can come into your home and so-called audit your family. It's legally impossible, not unless it is a private school and you sign some kind of contract before you allowed your children to be enrolled in that school. But other than that, if it is a public school, there is absolutely no way legally that they can.
Well,
come
they did
in
say
here.
they did say to me that what I'd been talking about with my daughter was destructive to her moral, you know, to her morality, and they needed to come in and clean it up.
Are they?
Are they police? Do they think that you?
I didn't know.
I'm
there
sorry.
Was a morale police going around. I didn't know there was. A
no,
police.
Well, morale, not morale. I mean morals, but morality is how you pronounce morality, but it's morals, not
right.
Morale.
That's none of the, that's none of the school's business. What morals you teach your children is none of the school's business at all.
Right, but
and this is
but
exactly
you said morale,
and this is exactly
like when you were talking about morale.
All right, we're not talking about morale. We're talking about morals.
Right, but and the lady, and when I call that lady an old hag or whatever I said. I called her a dirty old lesbian, and I said that she was barren. And I felt so bad about that because I felt she was misstating what Mr. Ron Paul was about. And then she found, and then she says to me, no, she's right, and she showed me the quotes. I felt so bad, I felt like I needed to let her come into my house. And you have to understand, sir, I love my daughter very much, and I love my family, and I don't want my daughter's life to be upside down. If I've got to get strip searched...
I have my own daughter to protect,
yes,
and
sir.
I understand that, but we will not allow these people to trample on our rights at all, period. And that is exactly
Right.
If you let them into your home, you are letting them trample on your rights. You are letting them literally...
But I trampled on her rights, you know. I trampled on her rights.
How did you trample on her rights?
How did you trample on her rights?
When I called her a dirty old dyke, and
that's not
you know
that's
absolutely true.
Speech.
That's
not, okay,
no,
that's
sir, that is
true. That's
can I say something, Phil? This
does. Your First
Go ahead,
Amendment.
Don.
It's protected by the First Amendment.
It's a level of hate speech, and I think that when you say that, you're trotting all over someone's rights.
Right, and you've never been cut off in traffic and called somebody a name.
I've never used any kind of racial. I've never used a racial term, no, sir.
Was he racial with the school woman? Did he say
he was? Yes, he was.
To her?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He called her a lesbian, and that's not racist, but it is. It falls under that category of
racist. I just asked you. Did you say anything racist? And you said
yeah.
No. And you said yes. And you said well,
I said
it's
no.
Not racist. Well, which is?
I said
is
no.
It racist or
I said no. When you asked me the question, I said no.
No, you said yes.
You said yes.
I think.
And then you changed your mind.
I said that it is racist. I haven't changed my mind. It is racist. It's not. It's a subcategory of racism.
What do you mean a subcategory? What is it? If you call someone a lesbian, which, by the way, is a legally protected orientation, it's a legally protected. This is not, you know, wow, you're a lesbian, and that's a put down because it is. It's legal to be a lesbian. All right.
Really? Well, tell that to the millions of lesbians who have been racially, or not racially, but technically racially, segregated from society.
First of all, you're not even in the ballpark with the name, so I won't even touch
what?
On that aspect. But second of all, do you speak for all lesbians now? Are you a lesbian, sir?
Sir, I'm a man.
Are you a lesbian? Last time I checked, you had
Are you making a joke?
Are you a lesbian? Do you speak for the lesbian community, the gay community?
Well, are you a lesbian? Are you a lesbian? Do you speak for them?
I'm not speaking for them.
Well, yes, you are. Yes, you most certainly are. You're telling me what
you're
saying. Can I?
No, he was the one talking about the word lesbian. You're the one saying that lesbian is a racist, which doesn't even make any sense, term. And I think what you mean it's a hate slang.
It's hate speech if you say it to a woman that even if she's an old maid. Do we know whether this woman is a lesbian or not?
I don't know. She might be.
Well, what's that got to do with anything? The point is you leveled invective. What you said to this woman was you meant it to be insulting, right?
Maid and she was barren.
And you were angry. You spoke out of anger, and you insulted her. Yes, sir, you insulted her, and you felt bad for that. And you know what? That makes you a good person because you felt bad because you spoke
and
out
so
of
I
anger.
And so I feel like I need for them to come into my home.
And
I need them to come into my home.
Her.
You
were
racist.
Need
for them to...
You just insulted her.
He most certainly was racist, sir. And
how was this man racist? You have to tell me, Don. I want to know, how was he racist when he called her... not just a lesbian, but a barren old maid.
It is technically racism to call
based on what? Based on what?
If it is, it's the same as a race, being a lesbian. There's no difference.
Based on
what are you giving this? Well, it's based on the fact that if you're born black, you can't change it. If you're born lesbian, you can't change it.
Okay, what if I'm born with, well, I was going to say with a big nose.
You can go get a nose job, see? So you just, you blew it there. If you want to give me an example, you better come with something stronger than that.
Oh, you know something? This is an asinine conversation that is not worthy of what it was we've been talking about. A lesbian is a racist term, okay?
Well, whatever. You can call it racist or not. I just feel like I needed to allow them to come into my home. And if they, you know, I'm going to say this, you can laugh. If they got, if they want to put a flashlight up my, you know what, they can do it. I'll do anything, whatever they got to do.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know,
thank...
if that's your attitude, man, if that's your attitude, then I'm sorry. That there's nothing I can do to convince you.
Well, that's good news.
Because if you want. If you want the school to go in there and violate your privacy and your Bill of Rights, that's on you. No, that's on you. That's
okay,
cool.
Good point. All right, we got to take a break. Thank you very much, Mitch, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't think that was Mitch. Who was that? I don't know who that was, but we'll get back here with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell and Don Mixa talking about Ron Paul, at least we were. Now we're defining whether lesbian is a racist term. The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I think it is.
The Phil Hendry Show.
It's technically. If I got a big nose, though, you said. I see it.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Next hour, we have our news and information hour coming up for you, and we also are going to have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining us. And a reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our live streaming video cast of the show right now. Before we get back to our calls, I've got on the line with me Don Mixa and Steve Bozell. Mr. Bozell is the gentleman who had the problem with his daughter's school when they found out that he was a Ron Paul supporter and some of these, quote, racist comments in Ron Paul newsletters that upset them. Don, there was a point you wanted to make, and I can't remember what it is now.
I'll tell you what it is, Phil, and it's very simple. This gentleman, Mr. Bozell, has said, and we've lost trail. You know, this has gotten lost in the conversation. He wants his money back from Ron Paul, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. He wants his money back from Ron Paul. Ran a game. He ran a game on the millions of supporters that he's allegedly has. I don't know. I'll tell you, there's one thing that Ron Paul's good at, and that's good at collecting money. But he ran a game on millions of people, and in the meantime, he's got these comments in these magazines. I don't know what kind of magazines these are. They're dirty magazines, or they got dirty pictures in them, or they...
No. They're political newsletters.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that these comments are made, and Mr. Bozell has said he wants his money. Is that right, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. I think if Ron Paul can make it available for me and others who don't, you know, want to be around him anymore, or whatever you want to call it, have the money back.
You know, this is a comment that's been lost.
I don't see how he can do that, you know.
I think it's worth it.
I think it's worth it to...
I don't see how Ron Paul can do that. I think you give your money. I think, you know, there's a buyer beware... buyer beware doctrine, if you will, that we have in our country, and it pretty much serves us well when it comes to individuals parting with their money. Buyer beware. Know what the hell it is you're doing.
Well, we also have fraud.
Well, fraud is one thing when you're buying a product. When you're supporting a political candidate, I don't know. All right, let's go to a phone call. This is Amon on the Phil Hendry Show. Amon, go ahead.
It's Amon, and how was your
Amon, yeah, go ahead. Can't hear you, Amon. Get the phone up to the mouth, or we got to move on. Can't hear you.
I was just wondering how it's his fault that Ron Paul's fault that he called his daughter's parents a lesbian, and how Ron Paul owes him money in any way.
Well, Ron Paul, because he lied to me about what he represented, forced me to at that moment.
He didn't lie.
What's that?
The hell did he lie?
Well, because he said. Because he comes off like he's all loves his fellow man and all this, and now he's got all this Martin Luther
really
King's a baboon.
If you really supported Ron Paul, then you would have known that he said those things. At least put them in his newsletter.
Oh, yeah, right. No way. No, are you telling me that you did know he said that?
I don't support him. But if you actually supported him, you should have known that, unless you're just saying that you support him. For some reason.
I want to ask you a question. Phil, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
The young man, you say your name is Amon, is that correct? A-M-O-N?
Yeah.
You're German, aren't you?
No, it's Irish.
No, that's a German name.
No, it's not. It's Amon. Irish.
A-M-O-N. Well, I think we all know what that
you're
means.
Irish.
No, we
you're
don't.
An idiot. I'm Irish. That's an Irish name. Google it if you want.
Eamon is Irish. E-A-M-O-N. That's Irish. But A-M-O-N
Eamon.
Is the name of a guy that ran a concentration camp.
Okay. I will not have that kind of discussion. The gentleman says he's Irish. That's good enough for me.
Everybody
okay.
in my family's Irish. From both sides.
Yeah, sure.
Grandfather's.
Yeah, I'll bet they are. Yeah, sure.
Grandmother's Irish. I'm an Irish Catholic.
By way of,
you know.
Irish by way of Argentina.
Nation, okay.
All I'm saying is, you know, I don't care if you're German or whatever you are, but I'm saying that the Ron Paul should have told me, should have let me know, and then I would have been able to get my...
Cork. You know, from Ireland.
Your whole family. Your family's got a cork where?
Okay.
I just want to say to the gentleman that I don't care. All I'm trying to say is that if Ron Paul could have told me or told the rest of us what he was up to with all this... You know, monkey talk. I could have gotten my money back sooner. But instead,
you
stuff comes out.
Your money. He doesn't
what?
Owe you anything. You don't deserve your money back. What's happened is you've come into the holidays, and it's a little harder, and you're looking for a way to make some quick cash.
If I were you, Mr. Bozell, I'd watch it. This guy is claiming to be somebody's not.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to hang up on you, Don, because it's not serving any purpose, okay?
This guy said that he was a...
All right, I hung up on him. Final comments. Amon, go ahead. I'm going to give the final comment to you.
Okay. I don't think that Ron Paul owes him any money at all. And whatsoever.
Some final comment that was.
I thought I hung up on that guy. All right, Amon, thank you very much, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. And do call again. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I just was put out by that series of comments, you know.
Well, I didn't say it. I don't care if that guy's a German. I don't care if he's a Nazi. I sound like a good man to me.
He's Irish.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We will be back with our news and information hour coming up next hour. PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. Listen to the podcast of the show tonight if you missed it.
Phil Hendry.
Yes, sir.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Oh, we're having a little bit of fun here. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on Phil TV and HD. I found a video on YouTube called Detroit Lion Passers, and it's actually been a lot of fun watching. Whoever put this video together did a great job. They have going all the way back to the days when the Lions were the Portsmouth Spartans.
What was that? That was the name they was before?
Yeah, man, they used to be there.
Yeah, that was the Lions were way back in the 20s. The NFL had teams like in Portsmouth. They had some small towns. I don't know where Portsmouth is. Where is that?
I can look up on a map if you want.
I think that's where you'd find it on a map.
Yeah.
Durr. Well, you don't know where it is, man.
I don't know where Portsmouth is. Why is it hard for me to? Anyway, this very interesting video. And now we're into the 80s, and there's some names that I wouldn't know from Adam, and then there's some names you're like, oh, wow, I remember Bob Gagliano, or Bob Gagliano, if you'll pardon the expression. And then and they had Eric Hipple. Here is Rodney Peet. As a matter of fact, Rodney and his lovely wife are friends of mine on Twitter. What do you think of that?
Really?
Yeah. Here's Eric Kramer. Who was the guy before that? I recognize Eric Kramer. Everybody remembers Eric Kramer. There were these flashes of brilliance. Dave Craig. Anybody remember Dave Craig when he was with the Seattle Seahawks? Yes. Scott Mitchell. This is another guy. He went to the Dolphins. There were big hopes for Scott Mitchell. In fact, I remember they talked him up big time. Kent Graham, I don't remember him at all. Oh, yes, I do. But Johnny Johnson, what?
Johnny Johnson, that doesn't... Everybody's got a name like that. Most black guys do.
Shut up, man. Oh, look at the... Dan... What's that guy's name? Dan Marorski or something? Frank Reich. Frank Reich was with the Buffalo Bills. All these guys had way better careers with other teams. Mac Blunden, Charlie, look at this, Charlie Batch, that guy is sitting on the bench now behind somebody, I forget who, I think he's in Indianapolis, Jeff Fox, what the hell are these uniforms, Gus Frerotte, remember him? I remember when Gus Frerotte was the answer in Washington, he kicked ass like 1 year in Washington, that was it, Corey Sauter, forgive me, I don't remember him. Stoney Case, no thank you.
What do you mean, Stoney Case?
That's the guy's name, I don't remember him. Mike Tomczak, remember him? He's a journeyman, might still be playing. Scott who? I don't know who that guy is.
The guy's got a Raider uniform on.
If these guys, here's Ty Detmer, of course, if these guys were any good, Mike McMahon, I sort of remember Mike McMahon. I remember Jim McMahon, but not Mike McMahon. Ty Detmer, Dave Dickinson, this guy plays in Canada. Oh, I think he's retired now, but he was a big, big name in Canada. Joey Harrington, remember him? He was another big white hope, you know?
Yeah, I remember that thought. He was a big man.
Rick Meyer, there's another guy. I mean, these guys came along with Detroit, Joey, and Scott Mitchell, they thought was going to kick ass. Jeff Garcia, this is, you know, 05. I mean, Jeff Garcia was on his last legs by that point. Dave Orlovsky. And every one of these pictures shows the guy getting sacked. John Kitna. There's another journeyman. And I don't say that in a bad way. I mean, these are the guys that will come in and maybe throw. Josh McCown. All of these guys that were quarterbacks for the Lions leading up. J.T. O'Sullivan. Here's a guy that came out of NFL Europe. J.T. O'Sullivan. Mark Nicolette. God almighty, the Lions have had more quarterbacks over and over. Drew Henson. These are cats that, what did they play, like three downs?
I think a lot of these guys are backups.
Dante Culpepper, did he play for the Lions?
I think so, yeah.
Played two seasons. Drew Stanton. Who's the guy now?
I forget his name.
Me too. I mean, I'm not a Lion fan. Matt Stafford. This is from 2 years ago, 09. Matt Stafford. And I'm sorry, folks, I'm going to get to this. Is that it? Oh, that's the kid now, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, that's the guy, because that's the end of the video on account of they just showed it.
I'm going, who's Matt Stafford?
That's the guy right now.
Okay, I know that's the guy right now. I got it. So I just thought, I thought it was very interesting because it was, I'm big, big, big fan of history. I love sports history, and I like it to be right, just like every other historical thing should be correct. And this guy, whoever put this together, was a very, very in-depth piece on the old... Because you were asking, Bud, about what these teams were.
Yeah.
They had teams in the 1920s in the NFL. They had teams in Portsmouth. They had a team in Providence, Rhode Island. They had a team in Canton. They had team... You don't even know, man. Rock Island, something... I don't know what that is, you know. You know.
What's Rock Island? Don't they have no Rock Island team now?
No, they don't have a Rock Island team.
No.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Where are the Packers?
Green Bay, man. That ain't Rock Island.
It's Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Well, what do they get them for?
What do they got what?
Why do they got Green Bay. They don't have no Rock Island.
They for whatever reason, Green Bay hung around. I don't know why. Green Bay just was able to make it work in Green Bay, you know.
Well, what are you talking about? How come the other teams moved?
The other teams moved because they couldn't make any money because the NFL, there were periods of time where the NFL would contract. That means In fact, they did contract at the end of the 20s where they shortened the number of teams. Okay?
What's that mean?
They got rid of a bunch of teams is what it means. And they only held on to the teams that were financially doing well. And they made some of the teams do financially well by moving them to other cities. And it probably had a lot to do with the relationship the owner had with the league, the relationship the owner had with the other owners, that maybe they let some teams just go to hell in a handcart because they didn't like the guy. Another guy, they said, well, why don't we move this team to Detroit? The Chicago Bears came from Decatur, Illinois. And they were called the Decatur Staleys because I think either the owner or the coach was named Staley.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. That's how they did it in those days. So
the guy's name is like, what if the guy was like a Jew?
Yeah, what about that?
Why don't you guys watch it, okay?
What?
What if the guy was like a Jew? So what if he was?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be like anti-Semite.
Me neither.
Oh, no, not at all. What if he was like a Jew? Okay, so maybe he was. Maybe they had the New York Hirschbergs. Is that what you're saying? I want both of you guys to get out of here.
What?
Get out of here, both of you.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did, and you did too, Robert, laughing.
I didn't do anything.
Shut up. You too, Robert.
What did I do?
I don't like the way you guys sometimes get on this anti-Jewish thing. You think it's funny?
I'm not anti-Jewish.
I know, but you're encouraging this idiot. Go get me a coffee and then come back in.
Can I too?
I don't know. I'll think about it. The New York Hirschbergs. Anyway, that's what they did in those days. And then the league solidified in the 30s. The National Football League had its very first championship game in the early 30s. And then came World War II, and that was a time of financial problems for the NFL. They had to, I believe, this is the weirdest period for the National Football League was World War II, when they had to take two teams and combine them, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Those of you who are NFL historians probably have heard the name Steagles. They were the Steelers and the Eagles. It was they played as one team, and they were trying to save money that way. That was weird, you know. And they had all kinds of things. And then they had the a league came about right after the end of World War II, the All-American Football Conference, that competed against the NFL and didn't, you know, win. So anyway, it's a very interesting history. All right, we're going to come back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is, well, you don't need to know the number. We're not giving out the, not taking phone calls just yet. We're going to come back with a couple of stories on this kid, Bradley Manning, with the WikiLeaks thing. I'm just going to read you a couple things from that story that you might find interesting. What's this guy's story? I don't know. And a couple of stories here. One on possible civil disobedience in Detroit. You know, they're going to try and give the state the opportunity to run the city of Detroit because, speaking of Detroit, things are going so bad there and they want to protest against it. Anyway, we'll figure it out for you. Don't worry. Stick around. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll let Bud and Robert come back in too.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to belt you if you bother me, okay? These are the standings, the NFL. These are the old teams right here. You see that, Robert?
Yeah, what was that Muncie Flyer?
The Muncie Flyers, the Columbus Panhandles, they had a bunch of whack teams.
They had no New York Giants, though.
They did not have the New York Giants. They didn't come around until 1921, the New York Giants. The Louisville Brecks, the Muncie Flyers.
Look at this. The Tonawanda Kotex.
Why, you dirty...
I didn't mean it.
Trying to make a joke, huh?
It was funny, you gotta admit.
No, it wasn't funny. Actually, they're not called that. They're called the Cardex. I don't know what that means, and I don't care. All right, so welcome back to the show. 877-876-PHIL is the number we usually give out when we're taking phone calls. We keep giving the phone number out. It is our news and information hour. That's why I am cautioning. Prosecutors say Manning collaborated with WikiLeaks Assange in stealing secret documents. Okay, so military prosecutors. So this kid, Bradley Manning, is some punk kid that was in the Army. He was a specialist of some rank and got a hold of this stuff and started feeding it to this guy, Assange. Did they collaborate? Did Assange know that this was going to happen?
Was this something that Assange encouraged? Did he fund it, you know? Military prosecutors presented new and detailed evidence on Thursday that they showed that showed Private Bradley Manning collaborating with Julian Assange, the founder of the anti-secrecy website WikiLeaks, and stealing more than 700,000 documents from classified computer systems and publishing them on the Internet. Assange came under grand jury investigation, possibly for conspiracy, after WikiLeaks publicized secret U.S. documents, roiling U.S. diplomatic relations and turning Manning, for some, into a whistleblowing hero. Manning's defense attorney, David E. Coombs, accused military prosecutors of overcharging in the case in an effort to obtain a plea agreement and gain the former intelligence analyst's cooperation in a separate federal case against Assange. Interesting.
They're going to try and get that guy to help him.
Yes, that's the thinking of this guy, Coombs. Now, this kid, this Bradley Manning, is a former intelligence analyst who obviously he got some kind of clearance that he shouldn't have had.
Why do you say that?
Because if he shouldn't have gotten it. He obviously was not reliable. This guy is not going to keep secrets. This guy compromised the secret classified documents that some people may think he was right in doing, but nonetheless, I don't think the Army wanted it. In just over an hour of closing arguments at a pre-trial hearing, this is what this was, the prosecutors disclosed three new excerpts of chat logs taken from Manning's personal Macintosh laptop. In one, he allegedly asks Assange for help in figuring out a password. In another, he allegedly tells Assange, quote, I'm throwing everything I've got on, end quote. According to Guantanamo detainee reports, at you know, and estimates the upload is about 36%. So he was at Guantanamo, or he's been at Guantanamo, but they're quoting him as a Guantanamo detainee, saying, I'm throwing everything I've got on at you know, the upload is about 36%.
What's that mean about at you know?
It means that, you know, wherever they're uploading the stuff, some kind of a server someplace. To which Assange replied, according to the prosecutor, okay, great. I don't know if that represents conspiracy or not, but...
What do you got to do to have a conspiracy?
You got to establish that there was a conspiracy, some kind of a pattern, that the two of them were working together. It doesn't mean that you send a letter to somebody and you say, I think I'm going to, you know, rob a bank, and the person sends back a response, that sounds like a great idea. That doesn't necessarily mean that that person should be charged with a conspiracy. There might be something else you could charge them with, but to which Assange replied, okay, great. Behar Azmi, an attorney for Assange with the Center for Constitutional Rights, said the evidence is speculative. We have no access to and cannot review to see the government's evidence. He said, we do not know if it is reliable. We don't have access to and cannot review the government's evidence. That's an explosive thing to say. You're supposed to have access to what the government has. You're supposed to be able to see it. So with that comment, that guy is setting up some doubt in the minds of the public, certainly, that the defense is at a disadvantage, that the prosecutors are not giving them everything that they need.
Well, is that true, or are they just making it up?
I don't know. It might have been true when a guy said it, and maybe the government came over to them about a half hour later and said, by the way, the stuff you want, it took us a while, but we got it. I mean, Thursday's dramatic proceedings brought to a close a seven-day hearing at Fort Meade to determine whether Manning will face a court-martial and under what charges. Coombs seemed to concede that the court-martial will proceed, making no impassioned plea that the charges Manning might face be reduced from 22 to 3. He argued that the maximum sentence should be not the death penalty or life in prison, but a maximum of 30 years behind bars.
What do you mean a death penalty?
Because it could, they could technically charge him with treason, and treason is punishable with death.
What does that mean? What do you mean treason?
Yeah. Treason is a charge where you are aiding and abetting the country's enemies, especially in wartime, and particularly with people in the military. It's probably very, very hard to charge a civilian or prove it from the standpoint of someone being a civilian, unless the country's at war, and there's a very clear connection between that person and the enemy state, but it's it technically does carry a death penalty now, especially for military guys. Now, whether they're going, it's very unlikely that would happen. This guy is probably looking at, you know, a nice long stretch in prison. I think his attorney, if he's arguing for 30 years behind bars, that's probably what the kid's going to get. You don't think the guy's going to get life in prison? I don't think so. Well, I don't know, man. Maybe. I mean, if they knew what they were doing, if the government wanted to really put their foot down, yeah, he would get life. But why do I feel like everything is political now, you know?
I think if the guy really did it, he had to get the death penalty.
Are you nuts, man? You heard what Phil said.
Well, that's treason to me, and they ought to give him a firing squad or however they do it. How do they do it?
Yeah, how do they do it?
How do they do what?
How's the army do it?
They do firing squad, don't they?
I don't know. No, not firing squad. Well, I don't know. A military guy, maybe. Maybe a firing squad. I don't know. In a 20-minute summation, Combs argued that Manning, now 24, was struggling with a gender identity crisis so severe that, oh, will you give me a break?
What?
A gender identity crisis so severe he was unable to function even before he deployed to Iraq in October 2009. This is an insanity plea. Combs said Manning's superiors repeatedly failed to act on signs of his distress. So because he had a gender identity crisis, he was giving away secrets to them.
Guy didn't know whether it was a man or a woman, so he decided to just start spilling secrets out to terrorism and everything.
Yeah, he decided to be a traitor. Like, that's better than being a man or a chick.
Yeah, is that a gender? You know?
I don't know, you guys. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But anyway, I shouldn't judge. We should never judge. We don't know. Walk a mile in a man's shoes. That's what they always say. You know?
I didn't know that.
Don't make any jokes, but I can see you smile and I'll kick your butt again. He argued that WikiLeaks' posting of more than 250,000 diplomatic cables and voluminous databases of Iraq and Afghanistan military field reports has not caused harm to the United States, and that the government's claim that there has been extreme harm is an overreaction. The sky has not fallen, the sky is not falling, and the sky will not fall, said Mr. Combs. These are all arguments that are irrelevant. The question is, did this man commit this act? Is it an illegal act? And if so, then what should the punishment be? And he did. He did. He disclosed these classified documents. It violated the code of conduct that this man is supposed to, and his oath to the military that he's supposed to live his life by and operate under. He did all of these things.
Yeah, but what if he was confused about being a guy?
Man, that got nothing to do with it. You know, I'm not going to do anything to do with it.
I don't know, but he said he was he had a gender identity. He had a gender confusion.
Yeah, all right, so he had a gender confusion. I agree with Robert. So, are they going to establish something if they bring a psychiatrist in? And the guy says, I mean, to me, this is the first time I've heard of this, but then, you know, maybe I'm not that well informed. But they bring a psychiatrist in, the guy says the guy had a gender identity crisis. Okay, what are the symptoms of that? Unreliability, okay, but does that also mean that you go and you select documents with the aid or without of another individual and begin to feed them? Doesn't that take a little bit of thinking?
You could be worried that you're a girl and be looking for, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the key line there, bud. You don't know. You're worried you're a girl.
Ain't he worried about it?
I don't know if he's worried about it. If he's got a gender identity crisis issue, he must think that he's a female. I don't know. You guys are asking me all the wrong questions. In a March 8, 2010 chat, Manning asked Assange for help in cracking a password so he could log onto the classified computer anonymously. That doesn't sound like a guy that's having emotional problems. That sounds like a guy that knows exactly what he's doing.
You mean a chick?
Yeah, that sounds like a he-she that doesn't know, you know, that's fine. Any good at IM hash cracking, Manning asks. Yes is the reply. We have rainbow tables for IM. Citing a tool that can be used to decipher passwords, Manning sent a string of numbers. Password is on to our guys is the reply. Oh, passed it on to our guys is the reply. So there you have it. These two douchebags, whether this guy thinks he's a woman or not, whether Assange is playing around with women, mainly underage or not, is probably beside the point. We know what they did. Now it's, does the guy get life, death, or 30 years? I say
death!
No, I didn't say that, but you did.
Phil Hendry.
I'd say,
yeah.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour. Very nice to be with you. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us. We're online at philhendryshow.com. You can go over there, get a backstage pass, look at our live streaming video of the show right now. And you can also check us out. You can check us out on weekends. We do our video cast on weekends from our, just doing our local show here in the Los Angeles area. We do one show a week. But most of our shows are done for y'all. Yeah, I just said y'all, and it didn't sound too lame.
Yeah, you must have lived down south or something.
I did, as a matter of fact. I lived in the south for a good part of the 70s, as a matter of fact. And when I returned to California in 79, 78, I did have a bit of a y'all thing going on. People would look at me like, what's y'all? And I, oh, wow. You know, I didn't know that I'd adopted that. But now you notice it's everywhere, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, y'all, everybody says it.
They say y'all or they say yo if you're black.
What are you talking about, man?
Look, don't start in, bud, okay?
No, that's what yo is.
No, man, yo ain't y'all if you're black. Yo is yo. You understand?
All right, well, the point being, God, bud, man, every time something's racial with you.
That's what I thought.
All right, well, you're wrong. The point is, y'all is taking on national... is taken on national character, or the character of some people's speech has taken on y'all. So it's become very much an Americanism. And, of course, when it becomes an Americanism, it becomes a, you know, internationalism, and everybody's using it. So that's where that's at. And I think a lot of that has to do with Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. All these things get... although I have to tell you, yo, man, where I see yo used, it just grates on me. Forgive me, but it just does, you know.
Like what?
I don't know. I shouldn't say. But I think that there is some line to be drawn there. I think if you're,
you're going to say white, aren't you?
Certain white people shouldn't say yo.
Like who, man? I bet you're going to say Canadians.
I didn't. Canadians?
Isn't that what you're going to say?
No. You're right, man. No Canadian should say yo. Oh, that's funny. I don't know why that's funny, but it's funny.
You gotta make a law out of it.
You make a law. No, you know, you guys can say yo. If you're white, you say it, but if you're Canadian, forget it. Oh, my God. All right. I don't know.
Who do you think I was saying it?
I don't know, bud. Quit. You guys are cracking me up. I don't know, man. I just see it all over the, you know, yo, yo, this, yo, that, yo, 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 yo. Poor Canada, man. My people come from Canada. How come we're always dumping on Canada?
Yeah, because you think they're all a bunch of liberals.
Oh, I don't know, you know. Fun thing about Canada, man, you know, my family comes from there, like I said, and, I was raised by Canadians that were very different. They were ass-kicking, hard-ass, hard-charging Canadians. You know, they were like World War II Canadians. They were like, you know, hit-the-beaches Canadians. You know, they were, you know, some people would probably argue that they were too friendly to America kind of Canadians. But what the hell's, what's wrong with that? I mean, what kick are you getting out of being like against it? You know, if you're Canadian and you got a hard-on, excuse my French, for America... What are you getting out of that, man? Other than just to say we don't like America, why? You know, give me a good reason. You know, don't give me a bull crap reason. Don't give me some silly ass, you know, made up concocted thing because you need to have you just need to be anti-American because it gives you more national identity. You know, I don't think, you know, and I've said this, and this sounds probably heartless of me. While I love Canada and I love, and there are Canadians that I love, obviously my family member and other people. You know, I don't know that it's a really healthy thing to have a national identity that you forge out of disliking or being the opposite of somebody. In other words, you have to say, who are you? You know?
Well, like, as opposed to what?
Well, as opposed to saying who you're not. So if you're Canadians and you say, well, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do everything that America does, we don't do that. Okay, fine. That still doesn't tell me who you are. And I think it's not, I don't think it's healthy, you know, to say we're not this, we're not that, we're not something else. When I was up there last summer, I'm reading articles in the paper up there about how Canadians don't stay home. They leave. They leave the country. They live in Europe. They live in the States. They live in around the world. My own nephew, Craig, you know, he was, and, you know, God bless the kid. Good for him. He was teaching English in Korea. He went to work in Australia. He worked in Southeast Asia. He's done a lot of different things, as did his brother. And this is a noble thing, but it was something they pointed out in the paper saying, where are all of our people? You know, where are our young people, especially? Everybody splits and then comes back here, maybe never, maybe sometimes, maybe yes, maybe no, you know. And that's, you know, something to be said. Now, you know, Canada is it's a tough place to live in terms of weather. I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it. I'm telling you right now. There's probably not a whole hell of a lot of difference between that and Montana, but there's a reason why most of the Canadian population lives right at the border, the southernmost part of the country, you know.
Yeah, but you're talking about all white people. All like Indian people.
No, the black people live down there, too. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about them Indian, man. I'm talking about Native, like, what are you called?
Eskimos and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Don't try to twist around what I'm saying, man. I'm saying that the Native people live up in, like, North Pole and all that.
Yeah, but aren't they the same as black people?
Oh, will you shut up, bud?
What?
What a stupid thing to say. Aren't they the same as black people? Black folks got to Canada a whole other way. Besides,
got them an Underground Railroad.
What's that?
That was the freedom train that they carried slaves that were escaping the South, and they went all the way through, in some instances, the United States and went to Canada to escape all this bullcrap. Another proud chapter. Anyway, you know, I don't know why I'm wasting all this time talking about this stuff, but I just thought it was interesting. However, as I said to you guys, when I went back there last summer, and I was in that part of Toronto where the Hendry family, you know, comes from. I mean, the founding, you know, people of my family are from the beaches of Toronto. And I looked at that neighborhood. I said, now, this is a really cool neighborhood. I really liked it.
What would it have?
Well, it's like any really cool gentrified old neighborhood in a city where, like North Beach in San Francisco, you know, and it had all the original houses, but they'd been refurbished. They look gorgeous, you know, and they have bistros and little restaurants and coffee shops on the main drag there, Queen Street, and then down you have the lake, and they've got the old lake yacht club. It's not really a yacht club. It's like a rowing club they have down there.
What do you mean, rowing?
That's what they do. They row, man. You know, they row, and they got little tiny sailboats.
But they call it a rowing club?
It's called a rowing club, yeah. They got all these boats, and these cats get out there and row, man, and they have these competitions. Anyway, it's a lake. You know, it's a big-ass lake, but it's still a lake. So I really dug it. I thought it was a beautiful part of town. And, I would love... I've been so many places where I'd like to have a home. I'd like to say I would love to have an apartment here. I'd love to have an apartment there.
But you want to have an apartment, like, in New York and everything.
I'd like to have an apartment in New York, in London, and in Toronto.
What about San Francisco?
No, I can go to San Francisco any day I want. I can drive up there tomorrow if I want to, you know.
No, you can't. You got to work tomorrow night.
Well, you get it. You know what I'm talking about. The earthquake-damaged Washington Monument has extensive cracking and chipped stones near its peak that make it highly vulnerable to rainfall, and inspectors found cracks and loose stones along the entire length of the 555-foot structure, according to a report released by the National Park Service. So that's something else we need to pay for. I'm very happy to do it, though. This is one citizen. I'm very happy to repair our national monuments, but that's what's happened to the old Washington Monument. It's got cracks from that earthquake. You remember that one in Virginia? The report was prepared by the engineering firm whose employees rappelled down the sides of the monument in September to inspect the damage. It offers the most detailed portrait yet of damage to the 127-year-old monument, which has been closed to visitors since a 5.8 magnitude earthquake shook the nation's capital on August the 23rd. Now, it was built originally in 18... They began construction of the Washington Monument, I believe, in 1848. Yeah, 1848. Now, that was 12 years before the Civil War started. The construction of the Washington Monument was interrupted by the Civil War. and was concluded in 1880. Where was it? It was concluded in 1884. So if you take away the 12 years, that's, you know, what is that? It's 10, 20, 26, take away 12. So that's 14 years it took to build the Washington Monument.
That's because they took long to build stuff back in them days, you know.
What?
Like the monument. Like, look how long it took to build the pyramids.
That ain't the pyramids, man. The pyramids are 1,000 years old. The pyramids? The pyramids, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but they had to have... When they built stuff, they got to have slaves do it and everything. Probably got slaves to come up from the cotton fields.
Man, I'm going to kick some ass.
What are you talking about? That's true.
No, it isn't. Well, maybe it was true to an extent in 1848. Yeah. I have to say it's probably true, Robert. They probably did have slaves working on it. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's talking about bringing them on up from a cotton field.
Well, I mean, Washington, D.C. was was right on the border of Virginia. They probably did bring slaves in. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. It was a free city. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was... It was if black people came to work on the Washington Monument, this thing called being a freedman, and the law said that if you were a black man on free soil, then you were free. But that was the Dred Scott case, and I don't want to go into that right now. All right. So anyway,
yeah, what about the monument and everything?
Right. So anyway,
you want to talk about the slaves?
No, I don't. Shut up before I belt you. I don't want to get into a whole thing about how the pyramids are different from the freaking... Are you nuts or something?
Yeah, but that's the way they did it.
Back then they did, not in 1848, man. They didn't... What do you think, man? They had a cat with a whip, you know?
You said they had slaves.
I'm beginning to wonder if they had slaves that built that stuff anyway. I don't think they did. Washington, D.C., I don't think was a slave municipality. I think there were slave and free states. Just shut up, bud. The recommended repairs include reinforcing the cracks with stainless steel plates and filling them with sealant, replacing as many loose pieces of marble as possible, and shoring them up with steel anchors or mortar. So it's going to be expensive. We have to repair it, and that's just all there is to it, man. We're not going to let our national monuments go to hell in a handbasket. This American doesn't want to see it happen. So construction began on the monument in 1848, and after an interruption during the Civil War, it was completed in 1884. It remains the tallest structure in Washington, and get a load of this, it was the world's tallest man-made structure until it was eclipsed by Paris's Eiffel Tower in 1889.
Wow.
So, one more little thing, you know, that we got to fix. What are you going to do? Are you going to not fix it? I mean, the guy made a good point. He made a very good point. You know, we talk about, you know, oh, there's too much spending, yeah, you're right, there is too much spending. So where do you want to stop spending? Now we have wars to prosecute. We've got a military. Do you want to stop there? Well, people will say no, because you can't leave our fighting men and women shorthanded. We have to conclude those wars. Oh, okay, we've got to conclude. All right, so that's one area that we're going to have to keep, you know, spending money on. Okay. Now that means something else. What about the Chinese are out here in the Pacific? They're rattling their sabers. Do we want to continue to build our Pacific fleet or maintain it? Well, we don't have enough money for that, but President Obama just said that America will not be second to anybody in the Pacific. That's going to cost money. Okay, fine. Now, repairing the Washington Monument, some people, this is the very thing that people on other projects would say we're nickel and dime, nickel and dime, nickel and dime. Why spend money on the Washington Monument? Because that's a national symbol. Well, I mean, it's costing money. Why do we have to spend it on that? Why don't you get a private company to do that? Why don't we raise donations? Why don't we, you know? Everything costs. Everything costs. Everything. Everything. And that's why people say entitlements is where it's going to have to come from. Social Security, Medicare, all of that stuff, it's got to come from there. And you can't cut the military budget enough. You can't. There's nothing else to cut, man. You're not going to be able to cut it enough. So.
Good thing I ain't going to worry about it.
No, you don't have to worry about it.
You do, though.
I ain't worried about it. If you think I'm going to live on my Social Security, you high on drugs? Are you nuts? I'll give my Social Security back. They can have mine. I can't live on that for 4 days. Who can? You got to supplement it with something else, obviously, but... I'm not even, no, I've got expensive tastes. No way.
Yeah, Social Security, you can't, like, go to Disneyland or anything?
I got way more expensive tastes. No. All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our final segment containing God knows more of the same on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Can you? No.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Go to Disneyland on Social Security money.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, that's very interesting, bud. And you agree with what Dan just said?
Yeah.
Dan said that if what I was in Canada, that if I bought peyote, because I think Canada, it's legal to buy peyote seeds. It's legal to buy certain seeds, marijuana seeds.
Yeah, well, they got like a, and some of them weed paper. What'd they say, bud?
You can buy certain seeds, but they won't mail it down to America, so forget it.
No, I know that. I know that. If you're talking about mail order.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to mail order some seeds to the states. You can't do it because the Canadians won't mail them to an American address. But what I'm talking about is if you're in Canada and you go to one of these head shops, I don't know what they have up there, man, because I didn't go, you know, but, and you are, and you buy some peyote seeds, okay, not marijuana, and you got them in your bags. Now I come back into the States.
Yeah.
And I get stopped by customs. They look and they find the peyote seeds. You're telling me that they wouldn't arrest me?
No, they'd probably fine you.
They'd fine you and they'd confiscate it, and then they'd probably, the L.A. Times would do an article.
The L.A. Times would do an article about what?
About you getting arrested.
I thought you just said I wasn't going to get arrested.
They probably would arrest you.
For bringing peyote seeds that I legally bought in Canada, right?
Well, they don't care, man. They'd arrest you. And then they, you know.
Yeah, they do like a magazine article on a Sunday New LA Times or whatever.
The New LA Times. You mean the New York Times?
Or whatever, yeah.
Are you out of your mind? Yeah, sure. Phil Hendry arrested with peyote seeds that he legally bought in Canada. Get out of here.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. The reason why I brought it up is because I was asked by somebody. I said, well, no, I don't want to do it. Then I asked when I was up there, I asked my nephew, and we were having dinner one night. He says, yeah, right down the street. He pointed right down the street where you could buy it. But I, you know what? I doubt that seriously. I really do, you know.
You asked him if it's peyote?
I think I did. I think I asked him something. He said, yeah, right down the street. But I'm, you know, the point is not worth it. I'm not going to do it. But the reason why I'm not going to do it isn't because I'm afraid they're going to write an article about me in the New York Times. Are you crazy? I don't want to get popped. It's as simple as that. I don't need a police record. All right. A reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Tomorrow night at midnight, you will be hearing here on the Phil Hendry Show. And if you have a backstage pass, you will be watching on our videocast as we perform Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol. And, bud, you better get ready for this one.
Yeah, I'm the star.
You're not the star.
He's got the role of Ebenezer Dickman. And
yeah. Who do you think the main guy is?
Yeah, but you're not the star. He is.
All right. He's Ebenezer Dickman, whatever.
You don't play nothing.
Yeah, I do. I play a guy at the end.
Yes, he does. He has a very significant part. He's the guy at the end who, gets the... I forget what you do, Robert. We'll look it over. All right, so that's tomorrow night at midnight. Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol. It'll be, as I say, here on the radio show, and it'll be live on our videocast. And it starts at midnight Pacific time. Midnight Pacific time. So as you know, our show starts at 10 on the West Coast here in the El Pacifico at 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So it'll be around 3 a.m. on the East Coast for the Christmas Carol. And then we're going to, you know, probably take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. We'll be back with you guys. We've got a lot of stuff happening on the website this coming year. I also want to remind you that while it is too late to have it delivered by Christmas, you can sure as heck go into the Phil Hendry merchandise shop there on our website and pick up some stuff for the Phil Hendry fan in your house, which may just happen to be you since you're listening to the show right now. And you know, maybe present it to him a little bit after Christmas or whatever. It's never too late. So hit up the shop. A lot of people going for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. We've got our hats. We've got our T-shirts. We've got our downloadable Best of Phil Hendry now. So you can go over to the website. You don't have to buy the physical CD. You can download all of the CDs, all of them, all of our legacy CDs, and there'll be more to come in the coming year. Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and Dan Northcraft, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. And from all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, have a very pleasant day. We'll see you tonight. And at midnight, of course, the Phil Henry Christmas Carol.
Phil Henry.